The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Brendan Gleeson, good morning.
Morning, Pat. How are you?
I'm very well. Are you actually in St. Francis at the moment?
I am at the moment, yeah. We're launching this Buy a Brick campaign, so it's all systems go.
Now, you might explain to our listeners, although you have chatted with us before about this, your deep connections with St. Francis Hospice.
Yeah, it goes back to my folks. Both my mom and my dad spent their last days in here, and it was a kind of a transformative experience in terms of, you know, obviously the loss of a parent affects people really deeply. But there was such kindness and compassion in the way that they were, you know, just seen through the door that it it was hugely affecting for me. I found it just an amazing thing to be given the gift of, you know, a good death in the way that it everything that was done was, the pain was relieved. There was professionalism with regard to the various stages that it went through, and it just felt as if they were dealt with in such a way that death became just a part of life. And I found it extraordinarily life-affirming ever since, the way that the people expend compassion on a daily basis here.
I mean, the kindness of it all, I suppose, is the underlying thing that, you know, it seems for all the staff who work there that it's more than a job.
Absolutely. And it's also an opportunity for lots of people to have a kind of an antidote to the general malaise at the moment, which seems to be very divisive, very despairing, very just problematic with regard to feeling good in the world. And this is probably, you know, the most traumatic experience that a lot of families are going to go through with whatever loved one it is that is passing on. But to find that there's this kind of lightness, that this optimism, there's volunteerism, there are people who are showing the better part of themselves, who are deciding to be kind, who are professional in the way they go about it. I just find it a massive antidote to, you know, all the snarling that's kind of coming down the pipes at the moment. So we're kind of really excited. There was a new facility built in Blanchardstown, and that's kind of been cleared now in terms of the debt and stuff. And there's this new facility being built in Rainey, where there are 24 units going to be fully operational as single room beds, so that you can have the kind of privacy. You know, when my dad was passing on, we were in the four bed unit, which was absolutely amazing. I couldn't have been given, you know. It was just a wonderful way, the way he was treated. But it did feel a little awkward to, you know, difficult to have a conversation. You're difficult not to be overhearing other people having very intimate conversations. And it's so everything about this place screams about doing things better. You know, insists on trying to up the bar instead of looking around for ways to save money, or looking around for ways to do it on the cheap, or looking around a way for somebody else to do it. They're saying let's embrace higher standards, and so they're going to reconfigure the whole place, have 24 units. They're going to increase the people they'll be able to see here, and also in the outpatients.
And now, it's a big challenge, yeah. Isn't it? 20 million is the budget, and hopefully it'll come in on budget. But you have a scheme, as you mentioned just at the very beginning, the Buy a Brick campaign, so everyone can actually participate.
Yeah, and just in terms of the kind of, you know, the way I've been thinking, I was kind of wondering how to frame this properly. Like, I really do believe that there is an assault on everybody's optimism and spirit at the moment with the amount of divisiveness and bad news that's hitting everybody at all times. Good news doesn't seem to be a good idea to put in the media at all. It seems really difficult to sell, and I just think people are becoming discouraged. But this one, what's happening is there's a virtual wall, and I want to emphasize, you don't actually buy a brick to write on and graffiti on. But basically what can happen is you can buy a brick for 25 quid and you put 25 characters on it, you know, where you can say how much you missed whoever's gone, how much you appreciated the staff, anything, something basically beautiful, compassionate, positive, and you know, for me, a chance to share something of the best part of you. And you get to put it on a virtual wall where it will be semi-public. It will be, you know, people can see it. And so it has that kind of thing about social media where you will have, it'll be out in the public statement. But it's an opportunity to say something nice. And to, so 25 quid a brick gives you can do it in different ways. You can kind of go up. You can get 100 and you get 40 characters, or, you know, whatever, yeah. 250 or something like that, and you get 60, or you get recurring things. There are different ways of doing it, but 25 is where it starts, which should be within most people's remit. And you get to commemorate somebody or do what you like. Just use those characters to be positive, and then it will literally give a brick by brick sort of help to what we're trying to do. 20 million we're trying to raise so that people can die in a way that's befitting, I think. I think it's a good news story, frankly. I think it's an opportunity to do something positive, and I hope people embrace it, because there are few enough opportunities to feel, you know, part of good movements at the moment.
Well, I think you've been committed to the hospice movement for as long as I can remember. I think we talked on the Late Late Show about, you know, the way the bad experiences that I think your mother had. But then, of course, talking about your father and the hospice movement, how great it was in St. Francis. But generally speaking, the hospice movement around the country, you've been a terrific supporter of.
It's an extraordinary thing, and it involves community getting stuck in a little bit, and it allows people to be able to contribute in whatever way they can. There's a lot of volunteerism involved. As I say, it doesn't go where trying to cut costs. It tries to head for the highest standards possible. I just find it very uplifting, and the amount of people that are involved in it, they're just a great bunch. It feels a really exhilarating sort of a bunch of people to be involved with. So it's actually very, it gives me back as much and more than whatever I would give it. It always feels that way. I come out of, even coming out of one of these campaigns, and I'm not the best man. I don't enjoy necessarily doing publicity and all the rest of it. But this is an absolute joy, because I really do believe in this. I think it's a way to feel good, and it's a way to alleviate some of the pain.
And how will people go to this wall, this virtual wall?
Yeah, well, there's the sfh.ie is the website, or the fundraising department is at 01-832-7535.
Okay,
and we're
it's Dublin number, 832-7535. Now, Brendan, before I let you go, I've got to talk about professional stuff. I was watching you last night in The Joker, Folie à Deux, dark movie, but you seem to relish the role.
Well, I'll be honest with you. I mean, it's a funny man to be talking about after that last night, talking about the bright side of life. But I thought Joaquin Phoenix's performance in the first Joker movie was the best thing I've ever seen, or one of the best performances on screen that I've ever seen. And it's very disturbing, the whole dystopian thing. But I thought Folie à Deux had a mixed reaction when it came out. And a lot of people wanted the mayhem and the license to indulge in the mayhem that Joker gives you. And what I think Folie à Deux managed to do is to give it a conscience. And I thought it was, I actually watched it myself last night, because I just said, I'm going to have a goo, or the night before. I'm just going to have a goo and see, you know, after a couple of years where it dies down, how I feel about the movie. And I really do think it's, you know, it has flaws perhaps, but I think it's a fascinating film about the questions of, you know, that dysfunction and how we deal with it. And I just thought it was very interesting stuff. So, it was a bit dark, but Jackie thought he was doing his best, but he had a nasty side himself. he was an interesting character to play.
And at the beginning, when he tells that bad joke to the Joker, I mean, anyway, we'll park that one. I wanted to ask you about something else dystopian, and that was in What was the movie about Comey that you played Donald Trump in? And I was wondering, did you get blowback professionally from people who might be Trumpers about your portrayal of the Donald?
Broadly, no, because I didn't talk about it in public. I didn't feel that I wanted to go on the public forum and start to be, you know, like my attitude was always, and it still is that what I can contribute is the performance.
Yeah.
And that's it. You know, and when I step outside of that, like I try not to do it in broad terms until it is something that I actually know what I'm talking about in terms of affecting me. And with yourself on The Late Late, you know, that was a very emotional sort of outraged sort of outburst against what I felt people didn't know about. I become a little bit disturbed that people have gotten too used to being outraged now, and pointing out the things that are wrong at every state and expecting somebody else to do something about it. So I've kind of walked away. So I didn't get much blowback. It's not to say I don't, you know, at this point, I don't know if it will or will not happen. I didn't get much blowback, but part of the reason I feel is because I left it what it was, which is the performance is what it was, and really that's what I tried to contribute. You know what I mean?
Another aspect of your life is the stage. First time I ever saw you on stage, I think it was Brown Bread, all those years ago in the Olympia. You returned to the Olympia and then to the West End.
Yeah, the West End will be interesting, but I'm kind of more concerned really about the Olympia at the moment, because that'll be the first up. And it's more important really for me to get right there. I was offered, you know, there was a West End thing being set up with Connor, and I was just, the offer came in, and when I read the play, I was thrilled by it. And I had seen it before and stuff, but I don't know whether it's my time of life or not. I just felt, oh, wow, I really would love to play this. I really, really would love to play it. And so it was the text, and Connor's going to direct it himself, you know. So it was the text that did it. And also it does kind of in the end have a finish where people tend to look towards the better part of themselves, which I think I really do feel is kind of necessary now, that people start looking at how that's possible, and trying to just give people the idea that it's all, you can actually turn to the better part of yourself as well as the other side.
So that's Connor's the Weir.
It's a technical issue.
Yeah.
Pardon?
I'm just saying it's the Weir in case people didn't catch that. It's on from the 8th of August to the 6th of September. Finally, Brendan, I should ask you, when am I going to see you play Hugh Leonard's Da? I'm really looking forward to it.
Okay, I'll leave that in the mists of probability or possibility. I don't know. Let's see how I get on with this one. It's, you know, I haven't been on the stage in 10 or 11 years, so I am starting to get a little bit aware of the challenge that's ahead of me in the first one. Let's get by the Weir first.
All right. Brendan, look, it's a pleasure always talking to you. Thank you very much for joining us from St. Francis Hospice.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.